going to read one verse to start. And we'll find that verse in verse 16. So Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Here's what it says. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's pray and then we'll preach the message for that. I believe the Lord has for you this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you for the fact that we can live the Christian life by your grace, that we can follow you. And I do pray that you'd help us to see this very important truth about the Christian life this morning. God, I pray that you'd help those that are here that may be struggling. We all struggle, and that may have fallen. Again, we all fall. So, God, I do pray that you'd help us to be encouraged in the faith, to be encouraged to continue on, to continue going, and to get up and rise up to follow you. We thank you for this time. God, I pray that you bless this message. I pray that you bless this service. I pray that you use it for your honor and for your glory. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that is very difficult about being a Christian is keeping our testimony consistent with what is generally expected of Christians. You know, there's this idea of what Christians should be and what Christians should do, and then for us, keeping up with those expectations. And because many times, I don't know about you, but I've been accused of having my behavior not match my faith. Saying, hey, you're supposed to be doing this as a Christian. And I've been accused of being a hypocrite. And sometimes those accusations are true. My behaviors don't match my faith. Or they don't match the Word of God, what the Bible expects of me, and I fall short. It's difficult. That's one of the tough parts about being a Christian, when your walk doesn't match your talk. Now, we don't want to be blatantly hypocritical, but the truth is as we walk through life, there's going to be times when what we should be doing as a Christian is not what we are doing as a Christian. And we fall short. And we have difficult times, and I wish that when we got saved, that tendency to fall was removed. But it wasn't. That flesh that is still a part of us, and it's still a difficult part of us, we will fall. And we will fail. And it's a good thing this morning that God does not expect perfection. What a blessing to know that as we come to church, God doesn't look at us and say, hey, you need to be perfect. You need to be absolutely sinless. Now, we are striving to be more like Christ, who was absolutely perfect and absolutely sinless. But on that journey, we're going to fall. And as long as we live in this flesh, we're going to fall. It's sinful flesh. It's a part of us. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's important for us to understand this morning that God does not expect perfection. That's impossible. And you think about that. And sometimes I've had people come and they've talked to me about this person isn't doing this thing perfect and this person isn't doing that thing perfect. And for some reason we live in a culture even today that expects perfection. It's just not possible. It's not. And God does not expect perfection from his followers. Because again, it's not possible. So what does he expect? If he doesn't expect us to be perfect, what is it? Does he want us to cover up our failures and appear to be perfect? So that we can send that out to those that watch us? And a lot of Christians do. We kind of cover up what's going on. We kind of live different lives. Well, how we live at home is different from how we live at public. From what we watch in our bedrooms is what we're different from what we say we watch to people that we come into contact with. And again, it's different. There's a different kind of... Is that what God wants for us to be? Saying one thing and doing another, covering up our failure so that everybody thinks we're perfect? They think our kids are perfect. They think everything that we do is that what God wants us to see and do? And the answer I think you know is obviously not. That's not what God wants for us. God doesn't want us to appear perfect.
He doesn't want us to be perfect because that's not possible. He doesn't want us to appear perfect either. But again, sometimes as Christians, that's our goal, is to appear perfect. It's not that, that's not what we see in the lives of people in the Bible either. I mean, when you look at the lives of the people in the Bible, do you see perfect people? No. Do you see people who put on a facade of perfection so that they might appear perfect to those that see them? No. In fact, in the Bible, you see people who fail over and over and over again. It's full of failures. It really is. So what God does expect for us is that we keep following Him. We stay faithful in our service. We keep going. We keep running our race with patience. We keep fighting the fight that He's set in front of us. We keep after it, yes, even though we will fail. He expects us to fall. But then when we fall, He commands us to rise up again. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall in the mischief. It's interesting from this verse that both the wicked and the just fall. Did you catch that? A just man falleth. The wicked shall fall. They both fall. So the difference between the just and the wicked in this verse is not that the just doesn't fall. The difference that you see in this verse is that the just rises up again. That's the difference. And the wicked, when he falls, stays there. Stays fallen. That's the difference between those two people. And again, we think, well, Christians never fall. Not true. Christians never make mistakes. That's not true. And we can't come off like that. Like we never make mistakes. Like we never fall. Because we do. The thing is we get up, we keep going. We keep serving God. We confess our sins. We forsake our sins. And He's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we keep going to serve Him. And that's what we do. We do that by the grace of God. It's an amazing and wonderful truth about God. So this morning, have you fallen? This morning, are you a little bit discouraged in your walk with God? Man, I'm having a tough time in my Christian life. I've fallen down. I have difficulties in my Christian life. It hasn't been going like I want it to go. Are you struggling with your Christian life? It's not, man, I'm not doing everything like I need to be doing. The thing is that's normal for all of us. We fall. We struggle. We have difficulties. But the key is you got to get up. You got to get back up. That's the key. You got to keep going. Don't stay down. Get up. I've highlighted 3 areas this morning that I believe it's important for us to get up in. The first one is we need to get up from sin. One of the most famous failures when it comes to sin in the Bible is King David. If I was to say to you, what's the most famous failure concerning, it has to be King David. I mean, he blew it by incredible proportions. And not just once. You know, there's the whole thing with Bathsheba where he sinned with Bathsheba and then he murdered her husband. That's pretty bad. But that wasn't it. He was not done sinning. He's not done falling. He's going to take a sin. He's going to number the people that God told him not. He's going to be disobedient. And God's going to send an angel. He's going to big chaos. There's a ton of stuff that David does that he keeps falling. But there's an amazing characteristic about David. He keeps getting back up. He just keeps getting back up. It's an amazing thing. In Psalm 51, David describes his failures. In verse 1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He admits his sin. And by the way, you're never going to get up from sin if you don't first acknowledge it. Admit it. I sinned. I messed up. I fell. I made a mistake. I made a choice. There's something bad happened in my life. And the thing is, there's a lot of denial happening today when it comes to our sin. And by denial, I mean we're denying it's even sin. People say things like, well, it's not that bad. No, we live in a different era, a different age, 2017, and that's no longer sin. And so we'll justify it, we'll excuse it, and you'll stay there. You'll stay in sin until you first acknowledge it. You'll never get up from sin until you first of all acknowledge your sin. So we have to start there. Acknowledge our sin. And let me tell you, if you don't admit and confess your sin, you're never going to get up from it. So we have to first of all acknowledge our sin. And secondly, you also can't fall in love with it. That's happening today as well. We love our sin. It's great. It's good. We love it. You're not going to get up from something that you're not supposed to do if you love it. It may be a form of a vice, maybe a form of a person, but we often fall in love with our sin. And the problem is, again, when we fall in love with it, we don't want to get up from it. And that's what happened to the wicked man in Proverbs 24 and verse 16. He fell into mischief, and he didn't get back up again. He was fine where he was. Don't bug me. I'm loving my mischief. It's good. Don't judge me. Mischief is fine with me. And that's the difference between a wicked man and a just man. The just man admits his fault. He acknowledges his sin. And he repents of it. He gets up from it. I shouldn't be doing that. Get up. Don't stay in sin. And David did get up. He got up from his sin. And then he fell again. And then he gets up again. And then he falls again. And he gets up again. That was his life. That's our life. We fall, we get back up. We fall, we get back up. We fall, we get back up. A just man falleth 7 times and rises up again. That's the key to the Christian life. Just keep going. There's a second area I want to look at, and that is we got to get up from hurts. Hurt is a common theme throughout the Bible. Job lost all of his belongings, lost all of his family. Terrible loss. Deep hurt. Jacob wronged his brother. By the way, the nation of Israel started with all kinds of hurts. Jacob wronged his brother Esau, and then Laban wronged Jacob. There's hurt everywhere. And one of the stories of incredible hurt is the story of Joseph. He's born to Jacob's favorite wife. That's more hurt when you have a favorite wife, right? Then he's loved greater than his brothers. Pile on even more hurt. Jealousy, envy. Hurting people hurt people. And that's what happened here. There's this hurt just keeps going and keeps going. And his brothers were hurt. Their father loved their brother more than them. And what they do is inexcusable. What they do is incredibly terrible. But they decided that they would sell their brother into slavery. And honestly, the oldest brother thinks that this is going to be, maybe he's hoping to deliver him, but their original idea was to kill him. And what happens to slaves in these time periods, it might be better to die anyway. What they're about to do is so terrible. It's such a horrendous act to sell a family member. And these are adults, too. You know, we have little kids, and from some time to time, little kids will say things and do things because they're mad at their sibling. Well, these are adults, and they actually did it. An incredible hurt. But Joseph's hurt doesn't end there. Then he goes to Potiphar's house, and at Potiphar's house, his wife falsely accused him so that he's thrown in prison. And in prison, he interprets the dreams of the chief baker and the chief butler, and the chief butler forgets about him for 3 years. More hurt. Hurts everywhere. So what did Joseph do? Did he get bitter? That's a common response to hurt. And we wait for our revenge. They say revenge is best served cold. We wait for the opportunity to enact our revenge and let our bitterness seep until then. Is that what we do with hurts? Hurting people will hurt people. We want to react. We want to respond. We want to get them back. Did he get even? No. He got up. He forgave. The pain that stabbed at his heart didn't allow. He said, I'm not going to stay there. He got up. He forgave his brothers. He kept going. And God, he realized that God had a plan in all of it. In Genesis chapter 50, verses 18 through 21, after his father has died, his brothers get a little nervous. And in verse 18, the Bible says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are thy servants. And he said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive. Therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your loved ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. He realized this was God's plan. Listen, you're going to get hurt in the Christian life. It's going to happen. People are going to come across you and they're going to hurt you. And it's bound to happen. Look at the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. People getting hurt time and time and time again. Constantly. You know, you think about, we talked about David and the mess that he created, the hurt that he put on his kids. Oh. And upon his chief counselor, Ahithophel. Just amazing hurts he put on them. You're going to hurt people. People are going to be hurt. In church, you're going to get hurt. It's going to happen. That's life. So get up. Get up from it. Don't stay down. Don't stay hurt. Forgive and trust God. Keep trusting the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, the Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Get up from your hurts. Don't stay there. Don't stay bitter. Move on for God. Keep serving him. They'll keep you down, and God does not want you to stay down. A just man falls seven times, and he rises up again. There's another area that we need to rise up from, and that's apathy. I believe one of the greatest stories of apathy and failure has to be the story of Jonah. God tells Jonah to get up and go to Nineveh and cry against it. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And we know the story, right? He goes the exact opposite direction. I mean, Nineveh was on one end of the known world at that time, and Tarshish is on the exact opposite of the known world at that time. He goes directly away from God's command. He doesn't care. That's what apathy is. Apathy means a lack of interest, enthusiasm, or concern. He's simply not concerned. Don't bother me with this. It's indifference. I don't care. The reality is we all get there, don't we? We all get to a point at some point where we just are lacking compassion. Where we lack the zeal that maybe we once have, or what maybe we think we need to have. It's just not there like it once was. And we're struggling in our Christian life, and we have difficulty caring. And there's no fire. The fire in our hearts just gone out. We've fallen. We've stumbled. We have no compassion. There's apathy in our heart. We say things like, leave me alone. Don't bother me. I'm fine where I'm at. Go do what you need to do. And all the while, a people that God wants us to impact is lost and helpless. Now, you know the story. God sends a storm to the boat, and the ship's crew decide the best possible solution is to throw Jonah overboard. All right. And immediately as they throw him overboard, the storm stops. So they made a good choice. And God has prepared a great whale to swallow Jonah whole. And in the belly of that whale, he travels 3 days to the shores of Nineveh, where he's spit up by the whale. So what does Jonah do? He gets up. And he goes and preaches like he was supposed to. Well, the story is incredible, and Jonah and the whale is recognized all over the world. I happen to believe that if you were to ask Jonah if you would want to do it over again, he'd choose a more conventional means of travel. So you know what? When I went to that port, I would probably head to Nineveh if I had to do it all over again. The reality is while this is an incredible story that we tell it, our apathy oftentimes leads us down roads that we'd rather not go. To places where God has to reprove and correct and stir up in us something. We need to get up from our apathy. We need to start caring. Stir up our hearts. We need to care. We need to have compassion. We need to make an impact. We have to get up. Now is the time. We have to keep moving. There's a story it's so inspiring. It's a story of a boxing match. There's a fight between Mike Tyson and Buster Douglas. It was billed as Tyson is back. And it was a historic boxing match that took place in the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo, Japan on February 11th, 1990. Now, Mike Tyson was the undefeated, undisputed heavyweight champion. And he was an absolutely vicious fighter. He was one of the most terrifying and devastating boxers in history. The fight went back and forth in the early rounds, but from the beginning it was apparent that Buster Douglas was not afraid, and he was there to fight. And he seemed at points in the fight to have an advantage. But in the eighth round, just seconds before the bell, Mike Tyson was backed on the ropes, and he landed one of his big uppercuts that sent Buster Douglas to the canvas. He was down. Now, many people don't know this, but Buster Douglas' mom died just 3 weeks before the fight. And before her death, she told Douglas that he would win the fight, and she was very vocal about this. But now he's on the mat. He's knocked out. And no one has ever gotten up from being knocked out by Mike Tyson. And they're counting him out. They're going 5, 4, 3, and the bell sounded. The round is over. Back to your corners. He's literally saved by the bell. And he goes back to his corner, and he's down, he's out, and all the announcers are saying, this is it. Mike Tyson's walking back and forth. He's like a caged bulldog. He's ready to go. He's fired up. His man's knocked out. He's going to go in right now in the ninth round, just finish him off. Mike Tyson came out in the ninth round, as everyone expected, just throwing everything at him, just going after him with everything he had, coming after him, and he says, I got him. I got him against the ropes. I got him right where I want him. Listen, life may have you there this morning. Life may have you up against the ropes. Life may have you down for the count. That's where life may have you. And maybe you've fallen into sin. And guess what, Christian, this morning, you got to get up. You got to get up. And listen, you may have gotten hurt. And I know I've been hurt. But get up. Get up. And you may say, I've got nothing in my heart. There's no compassion. There's no apathy. I'm tired of impact. Get up. Get up. Here's the deal. You see, we got to do what Buster Douglas did. He got up. He kept fighting. He fought back. And in that fight, he shocked the world. He knocked Mike Tyson out. He won the fight. And they ran to him after the fight. And they asked him, what happened? And here's what he says. It's real simple. Before my mother died, she told the whole world I was going to beat Mike Tyson. I believed her, and that became my motivation. I just had to stay up. And let me tell you, Christian, Jesus doesn't need you to be perfect. Jesus doesn't need you to have the facade of perfection. He just needs you to keep going. Get up. That's what he wants for you. Keep serving. You see, he's already won the victory. That's the key in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory. You've already won. Just stay on your feet. Just keep going. You're going to fall down. Get back up again. You're going to be against the ropes. Just keep, get up. We need to have that motivation. And again, the trials are coming. The tribulations are coming. The temptations are coming. Keep fighting. And in that fight, guess what? You're going to fall, but get up again. Run your race. Fight your fight. Finish your course. Keep going. I don't know where life finds you this morning. I don't. But I know you've fallen. I know you've had difficulties. The reality is maybe this morning sin has got you down. Maybe you're on the mat. Maybe they're counting you out and the devil's over there. I got him. I got him. Right where I want. Yes. Admit it's sin. Acknowledge it's sin. Confess it. Forsake it. And get up. Get up. Don't excuse it. Don't say, well, everybody else is doing it. Well, so-and-so is doing that. It's 2017. Acknowledge it. Confess it. Repent. And get up. We need that today. Maybe you're numbed in your heart because of hurt. Forgive. Give it to God. Trust God. And get up. Get up. And then maybe there's apathy that's taking over your heart. We first need to repent of that. See the need. And get up. I don't know where life finds you. But God has won the victory. You're not going to be perfect. Just finish your course. Don't put on a facade of perfection. Don't make it look like everybody, because that always comes crashing down in the most terrible of manners. And everybody goes, oh, that's horrible. Because it's such a hypocrisy to demand something of somebody else that you yourself were doing in secret. It's not about the facade. It's not about the perfection. It's about by grace, continuing your journey, getting up, serving God, being in your place, doing what God has for you to do, and keep going, gaining momentum, striving to be like Christ. And you'll fall, and you got to get up again. The idea about falling seven times and rising up again is not that, well, I did it seven times, there I'm done, I'm down. It's God's number of perfection or maturity or completion. It means that you just keep going. It's just a continual process. Just keep it going. Seven times, 70 times, 700 times, you fall down, you get back up again. From sin, from hurt, from apathy, whatever the case may be, keep going. Keep serving. Find strength in your brothers and sisters. Help us along the way. Help each other along the way. And keep going. Don't laugh when somebody falls. Don't smear when somebody falls. Help them get up. We'll be okay. We've won the victory. It's by grace that we stand. And we keep going. I hope today that as we live our Christian life, as we serve together as a church in this needy community, that we'll get up again.
and again and again and again. And we'll confess, we'll forsake, we'll repent, and we'll keep going. Keeping our eyes focused firmly on Jesus Christ. Serving Him. Forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth in those things which are before. And I press for the prize and the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. Keep after it. I'm glad you're here. It's part of the process. Keep going. And there may be somebody who's fallen and they're falling out of church. Let's go encourage them. Hey, let's get up. He's won the victory. Let's get up. Let's keep going. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you today. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that by your grace, we can get up. We thank you for the examples within Scripture that you've given to us of folks who have fallen, but they've gotten up again. And God, I do pray that you'd strengthen each one. My prayer is for those that are here that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that if I was to die today, I don't know that my sins would be forgiven. I hope so. If you don't know for sure the answer to that question, I'd like to pray for you. And if you say, Pastor, I'm here today, I don't know. I don't know that Jesus is my Savior. I don't know that my sins are forgiven. I'd like to know. I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you're here today, say, Pastor, would you pray for me? If you'd slip your hand up, I'll see it. You can put it right back down. Is there anybody like that here today? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. Is there anybody like that here today? Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? We're not going to raise our hands this morning, but maybe you need to get up. Maybe they're counting you out because of sin. Maybe it's because of a hurt. Maybe it's just apathy has crept in. Say, Pastor, I need to get up. He's won the victory. And I'm going to fall again. You're going to get up. You're going to fall. You may stand up and fall right back down. Get right back up. He's won the victory. He's given you the victory. And that's the whole key to the Christian life, is you just keep going. By grace, a frequent repenter, confessor, and acknowledger of our sin. And we keep going. And would you determine by God's grace that today I'm going to get up? Heavenly Father, God, I do pray that you'd help us to be a people that would fall and rise up again. That we wouldn't be like that wicked man who, when he fell into mischief, just stayed there. But that we keep going. God, strengthen our church. Help us to help each other. Help us to lift up each other, to care for one another. Help us not to scoff when somebody has a difficult time, or to judge or think, oh, I knew that. I could have told you that one. But to be caring, to be compassionate, to lift up each other, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. And God, I do pray that you do a mighty work with us in this church, because we're determined by your grace to rise up again, to get up. And God, I pray that you bless this time of invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books. We're going to go to